If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Last week we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, evidence of speaking in tongues, and encourage you, if you weren't here, to get that CD. It's a good one to listen to and study and go over the Scriptures. It's a good CD to give this to others that may need that. But God's got equipment for us, and we need all the help we can get. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says this: "Now may the God of peace," don't you love that, God of peace? He's the God of peace. Someone was telling me after the first service, someone that's become the Good News Church for a little bit, and they studied the Word of God this morning and had a workout and kind of talking to their wife, and he said to his wife, he said, "You know, I have peace." And he said, "You know, that's the first time in my entire life that I've really felt this kind of peace." And he attributed it to, because of his relationship with God. Isn't that amazing? This guy's in his 50s. First time in his life he's felt peace. God can bring that peace. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, separate you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, people that have been here for some time, you know what I'm about to say. You know that man has three parts. We're made up of three parts. The first part is the spirit. You know, the Bible says in John that God is a spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And that we're created in God's image, so it makes total sense that we are a spirit. When we die, when I die, this body, what you see is an outer covering of my spirit. It's going to be put in the ground, and it's going to decay. But it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That when a person dies, their spirit leaves their body, and the Bible says there's two destinations, heaven or hell. There's not a third option, just two options. But when we die, the Spirit lives. And the Spirit is eternal. God is eternal. And our spirits are eternal. Well, then it says we have a soul. What's the soul? The soul is our mind. It's where we do our thinking. We have a will. That's our decision maker. And then our emotions, which is our feelings, how we feel. We feel sad, we feel happy. We laugh, we cry, different emotions that we have. And the question that I have for you today, which part of man is to provide leadership for our lives? And that's an important question because many people, even in church, don't even know that we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And you'll see that when you go to a funeral and they think that body's the person. But I mean, you've seen it. The life is gone. The person's gone. But they don't understand these things. So we have a spirit, soul, and body. And we need to know who's supposed to lead. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 3. One of my favorite scriptures here, Proverbs 3, verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." How many know that's a good word? Not a whole lot of things you can put confidence in these days. It seems like man's systems are crumbling, and they have throughout history. The one system that doesn't crumble is God's system. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And so it says, do not lean on your soul. Don't lean on your mind and your ability to reason and your ability to figure out to lead you and to guide you. So we can check that one off the list. He doesn't want us to be led by our minds. Now let's look at Romans 8, verse 12. You all excited to be in church today? Go ahead and just give me a shout and make sure you're still alive. Good. I'm so back here so far, I can't really hear your breathing, so I just wanted to... Most of you shouted, so most of you are alive here. Romans 8, verse 12. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. All right, so that checks off another one. He doesn't want us to live according to our flesh. I think we all know that. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by what? The mind. As many as are led by the intellect, by your education, by your money, by your parents' values, by the desires of your flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, this is so amazing that the Spirit of God wants to lead us. It says, for those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, then and joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with Him, we also may be glorified together with Him. So Romans 8 says who we're to be led by. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of truth. He knows how everything works. He knows what's coming up in the future. Because He represents God and He is God. And last week we talked about that, about being filled to overflowing. Isn't that amazing? God living on the inside of us. You ought to look in the mirror every day and not complain about how we look. Or think, oh no, you know. We ought to look in the mirror every morning and say, God lives in me. The Holy Spirit of God lives in me. And you keep on saying that and you start, you know, saying, wow. We ought to be excited. God lives in me. Right now, God lives in you, Nate Barber.
Yes.
Turn to your neighbor and look at him and point at him and say, God lives in you. Then turn to your neighbor. I knew there was something special about you. Everybody say, I'm special. Just a little bit. But it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And then what does it say? His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. And the way God set it up, and this is His plan, and a very few live at this level. But the way God set it up is where the Holy Spirit, who represents God, would speak. Isn't this amazing? Speaks to our spirit. And then what we call revelation comes from our spirit to our minds. And then when it comes to our minds that we have understanding, then we can act accordingly. Isn't that amazing? And that's the way God wants it to be. He wants us to be led. He wants us to know that we're sons and daughters of God. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. He wants us to have a revelation that we're seated with Him in heavenly places. He wants us to have a revelation that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. He wants us to have a revelation. And see, revelation is so cool. You ever had your eyes just opened up? And it's revelation from the Spirit of God. And see, the thing about God is God wants us to understand things. He knows how about everything in the universe operates. And if we'll tap into Him, He'll show us how things work. He's still speaking today. And the thing, and you can read this later in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He wants to reveal things to us. Maybe secrets. The Bible calls them mysteries. And see, even the smartest people, the Scripture says, the rulers of the day, had they known, had they had revelation, they never would have crucified Jesus. God's got revelation and light for us. Now let's look over to John 16. John 16, verse 7. I'll read this to you in the Amplified Version. It says this: however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. When I say it's profitable, it's good, expedient, advantageous for you to go away. I mean, how can that be? Wouldn't it be better just to have Jesus walking with us? Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, this is who the Holy Spirit is. This is who's living in you. Comforter. Anybody need some comfort today? Counselor. I'm all for going to earthly counsel, getting counsel, paying for counsel, all that. But I'm telling you, we have the Counselor living on the inside of us. And any counsel that we get, we have to pray about it. It has to line up with the Word of God. Helper. Advocate. Anybody need an advocate? Someone standing up for your rights? Intercessor. Prayer. Standing in the gap. Strengthener. Who needs strength today? Holy Spirit is in you. He'll strengthen you. Stand by. Will not come to you in close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Susie and I mean, I'm closer to her than any other person in the earth. All six, you're special too. All 6 billion people on the earth, and I'm closest to you. I chose you. 7 billion? Thank you for that. Is that a revelation? And we spend a lot of time together. And we talk about everything. Not everybody, but everything. Talk about all kinds of things. And we're in close. We're together all the time. In fact, I just don't feel right if Susie's not there. Because you complete me. Okay, how far can we go with this today? All righty. But how much more does God want us to be in fellowship with Him? And for us to communicate with Him? And He wanted to be so close to us that He sent His Son to live and to die and pay the punishment for our sins, but also that He would go away. Why? So He could send the Spirit of God. And it's a great plan because now God can live in people everywhere all through the earth. And Jesus can do His works in Augusta, St. Paul, Minnesota, Beijing, every school. He can do His works in the White House, in Congress, because the Spirit of God can come and live in us. Now, you may not realize this, but if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have an advantage. You have an advantage because you can tap into His leadership. You can tap into His guidance. All right, let's continue reading. Let's go over to verse 13. Now we're going to get into the good stuff. Everybody say good stuff. You have to have a revelation to get a hold of this. John 16, verse 13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you things that are to come. How many like to hear gossip? How many like to hear the news before it happens? How many like to be in the know? Hearing about things before everybody else. He will announce and declare to you things that are to come. That will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and reveal, declare, disclose, transmit. I love that word. It to you. Everything the Father has is mine. And see, God's not selfish. Everything he has, he just wants to give it to his children. He doesn't want to hold anything back. He'll give you as much as you're willing to receive. Everything the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that. He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Anybody use email? Anybody use text messages? Anybody use cell phones? I mean, we have so many forms of communication. And if they could put some kind of thing, communication inside your head, they'll do it to improve communication. But how much better communication than you get than having the Spirit of God to live inside of you, whether you have any cell phone towers or not. You can always have signals wherever you are. There's no coverage problems. Wherever you go, there he is. Whatever country you go, there he is. And he can always, and he can talk with you. Isn't that awesome? God can talk to us. He can show us things. He can teach us things. That's what he desires. All right? So we know we're to be led by the Holy Spirit. Well, we can be sensitive to His Spirit and be more sensitive to His Spirit. And that's what I want to talk about for the rest of the service here today, is how can we be more sensitive to the Spirit of God? How can we hear from Him? Of course, there's always the Word. I mean, the Word is the only thing that I know that impacts people in three levels. It says, the Bible says, the Word feeds our spirit. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says in Romans 12 that the Word renews our minds. Anybody had their mind renewed since they've been walking with Jesus? Thoughts you used to have, you don't have anymore. We know so much more. Renews our minds. But then the Bible says that the Word brings health and healing to our bodies. The Word, when it's preached and you open your heart to it, it contains life. It contains faith. Susie did a great message for School for Life on delighting in God, rejoicing in God. That's another way we could be more sensitive, just by giving Him praise. But there's another way we could be sensitive, and it's called prayer. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is simply talking to God. And prayer can be asking Him for things, but there's so much more in our relationship than me asking you for. I mean, there's fellowship. Communication goes both ways. And so, in our prayer, there's two ways we can pray. There's many types of prayers, but two ways we can pray in our language, in English. Is everybody here speak English today? Hopefully you all understand what I'm saying. That's one way. But how far can you get when you got your prayer list? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? You ever do that? You have your prayer list, you write them down, and you're going to be really bold and try to pray for an hour, and you get to about 15 minutes, you just can't go anymore. You've said everything you know to say. Well, there's another way to pray the Scriptures talk about, and that's praying in tongues. And we talked about that last week. Tongues, or praying in the Spirit, is speaking a heavenly language. It's the language of the Spirit. In the Bible, and it says in Romans that the Spirit of God prays with our spirit. And it says that we're praying the perfect will of God. Now, who wants to be perfect here? Who wishes their mate was perfect? The only time I know of that you can be perfect is when you're praying in tongues, Because it says we're praying the perfect will of God. I mean, that's awesome. It's one of the initial evidences of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, is praying in other tongues. Now let's look in our Bibles. 1 Corinthians 14. Guys, if we would get a hold of this, this group here could change the world. This group here could change their world. We are so limiting ourselves. We're so living beneath where we can live. God has so much more for us. He's got so much more for us in 2012. We could, by December 31st, reinvent ourselves, be different people, doing different things, thinking differently, within 1 year. If we just put to practice some of the things I'm saying today. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, Amplified says this, For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths. Isn't that awesome? Secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Let's keep on reading. Let's go on down to verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays within me, but my mind is unproductive. See, I'm saying another language. It's not English. It's not Spanish. It's not French. It's not German. It's not Italian. It's a heavenly language. And my mind does not understand it. The words, they're not my language. But the Spirit of God, God understands. And when I'm speaking that, I'm speaking it to Him. I'm communicating to Him. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. But then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me. And I also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that's within me. And I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. So what is he saying? He's saying, I pray in my language. I pray in my heavenly language. I pray in my language. I pray in my heavenly language. But now let's look at verse 18. Do y'all know who Apostle Paul is, right? The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul brought revelation to this earth, that even Jesus didn't reveal. That's pretty heady stuff. I was ministering in Peru several years ago, and we went to this Amazon Bible school. It was in the Amazon jungle. And all the images that you have of the Amazon jungle, they're true. We were walking on this dirt road, and it was just a jungle on both sides. And you're hearing all kinds of strange sounds. You feel like people are watching you. Our bus got stuck in the mud, and we had to walk several hours to this Bible school. And it was in the jungle. Where we drove to, we got to the end of the road and got on a dirt road. Then we got stuck in the mud. And we walked to this Bible school, and it's right in the middle of the jungle. It's got, for the main building, it's got poles and a thatch roof, and the chairs are concrete blocks with pieces of wood going across. And we have to have all this in the United States to have church. If we don't have this and more, we can't have church. These guys sleep in mosquito nets outside. Their bathroom is a hole in the ground. And so I'm ministering at this this place for the Bible school, Bible students, and they're all excited and got a translator and everything. And I'm bringing in the revelation of righteousness. I mean, I love righteousness, our position with God, and how we have no condemnation and fear going into God's presence, that we're God's children, and these rights and privileges that we have, and we're holy and blameless and pure in God's eyes. And then when we pray, it's just like Jesus praying, and God hears our prayers and responds. All those things I love to talk about. Well, I'm getting into the message, and they have no word in the Spanish language for righteousness. That just about freaked me out, because their word that they use, when we say righteousness, they use justice. And justice has a whole totally different meaning. So I was bringing to these students a fresh revelation, things they had never heard before. Isn't that amazing? And we've been talking to some people recently, they've never heard of Jesus. I've never met anybody in the streets of Augusta that's never heard about Jesus. Talking, how do you communicate Jesus to someone that's never heard about Jesus? You're going to have a revelation. But look at what Paul says. Two-thirds he wrote of the New Testament. Things he introduced to the body of Christ that were revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18 says, I thank my God I speak in strange tongues. Who's got a strange tongue today? Some of your tongues are stranger than others. Okay. I speak in strange tongues, languages, more than any of you and all of you put together. Now let me ask you, was there a correlation with him speaking in tongues and revelation by the Holy Spirit? I believe there was. I believe that Paul had a revelation of the power of praying in the Spirit. And one of the things that the Lord has been saying to me about 2012, one of the big mandates that I have is to pray in tongues more. To pray in the Spirit more. Now, I read so many of the benefits last week. You know, energizes you, builds you up like a battery, quiets your mind. Just, you know, umpteen different reasons why we're to pray in the Spirit. But first of all, so I am speaking secrets. I'm speaking mysteries. And when I'm praying in tongues, I could be praying about anything. I could be praying for you. I could be praying for your marriage. I could be praying for a missionary in another country. I could be praying for our president. I could be praying about problems in this area. I could be praying about situations I'm going to face in a few days. That's an amazing thing. And what I've learned, and so here's what I do in my prayer time. And again, but you can pray in the Spirit anywhere. You can pray in the restroom. Now, I don't recommend that you go to work on Monday and stand in a chair in the middle of the office and start screaming in tongues. Because that's not going to benefit anybody, and they'll probably, the guys in the white jackets will probably come get you. So we use wisdom. I was in a situation this week, an emergency situation, and people were all running around me and doing all kind of things, and I didn't make a big deal of it, but I kind of quietly prayed in tongues about the situation. Because it was chaos. And I didn't know what to do. But God knew what to do. But if I have time and I'm having prayer time, what I'll do is I'll start in English and I'll go as far as I can go, which is about 5 minutes. And I'll speak out what's on my heart. But then I'll start getting over into other tongues, praying in the Spirit. And then as I'm kind of going along, and I may do this 5, 10, 15 minutes. And as I'm doing that, what I'm doing is I'm quieting my mind. Because how many know we got a lot of stuff rolling around in our minds? See, some of you can't even pay attention today because you got so much on your mind. The cares of the world. All the things happening. It's just difficult for people even to pay attention today. But when I'm praying, you know, and the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So what I'm doing is I'm quieting my mind, speaking out another language, and then I'm looking within me, not up here. See, if we just do what we know, how many know that's not going to be enough? We want to tap into what the Spirit of God has to say. Because He's got the answers. He's the Spirit of truth. He knows how to pray. He knows what to do. And so I want to tap into that. So I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. And then I'm always asking God, interpret back to me what I'm praying about. And sometimes He does it right then. Other times He'll show it to me later. But while I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm quieting my mind. And then I'm listening. And sometimes words, names, situations, things I don't even know about will start rising up. And then I'll start speaking those things out. And I always keep a notepad handy. There's been times a prayer where I'll just sit down and I'll just start writing. And He'll start talking to me about the future. Showing me things. See, we have this ability, but how many of us are using it? Or how many of us even understand what we have? A lot of people, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's it. They never develop. But we're learning here at Good News Church to develop our spirits. And why are we doing this? Because we're trying to empower people to give life. We're trying to raise up laborers, people that can be ready for any kind of situation to minister, to help, to be a blessing, to give life. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but I've already said last week and several times this year already, you're going to be in situations this year that you're going to say to yourself, I don't know how I got here. And you're going to be in situations where you may not even know what to do in yourself. But as you look to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is going to show you what to do. It's going to happen. I'm just going to keep on saying it. And we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. One time I worked for this international paper, and I worked at the paper mill and then at the sawmill. I was working at the sawmill, and I was a controller there. And we were, you know, about $1 million a month plant, $1 million in revenue. And not a very big plant in the eyes of this company. I mean, we were the smallest of in the wood products area. I mean, the paper mill out here, I mean, they're doing $10 million a month. So we're a small operator. We had about 100 employees. And they were looking at making cuts. And the word was our plant was going to be shut down. And I, you know, wherever I go, I get to know people. I get to know the people there. I worked in Johnson, South Carolina. I loved the people, loved who I worked with, cared for them. I didn't want them to lose their jobs. The jobs are scarce in Augusta, could be scarce in Augusta. But up there in Johnston, I mean, there's not a lot of places you can work. Some of these guys have been there 25 years. So the first thing that hits you when you get a report like that, fear will grip you. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had fear grip you? A lot of times it likes to come at night. Sometimes at the midnight hour. Fear, you know, trying to take, look what, you know, the devil's, he's just saying, look what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Nothing you can do about it. You might as well just give up and quit and just accept it. But fear was hitting me. I didn't want this plant to close. And so I began to pray in the Spirit and began to pray about it. And how do you know how long to pray about a situation? You pray until you get a note of victory. And if you don't get it during this session, then you hit it the next session. And that's what I'll do. And a lot of times in our prayer time, we'll be praying and all of a sudden we'll just start praising God. And just joy kind of floods over your being when you know the thing you were praying about is taken care of. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that? That you can pray about something and actually have confidence that it's already taken care of before it actually happens. So I was praying about this situation, and the head guy was coming down to our plant to meet with us. I believe to give us the news. That was the word. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord just said, I want you to do a presentation on what's really happening at the plant. I mean, he should know all these things, but this is what the Lord said to me. I want you to do a... And this came out of prayer. I believe this was revelation. I want you to do a presentation on what's happening at the plant, how you're doing, and go through the numbers. And this is, the guy came down, and we're at the board table, and we're all talking there. And I said, you know, can I just say some things? And pulled out of my briefcase all these documents and handed them to everybody. I didn't have PowerPoint, but I just went through the whole presentation. And I said, this is why we are a viable operation. This is where we're going. Cast vision, blah, blah, blah. And the guy, I mean, it was like he came in all mean and ugly. And I was like, I saw his countenance change. And right in the middle of the meeting, he just changed and got excited about our plant. And to this day, it's not closed. Now, was that me and my great wisdom? I could never have come up with that. I've been in emergency situations. I mean life and death situations. And had to pray in the Spirit. And the Lord revealed things. And to see how this works. I mean, even this building came from a decision by us to go to Longhorn's Restaurant. How many know little things can lead to big things? We were asking ourselves, what restaurant? You know, we've been praying about the building. We were at a school and had gone through a stewardship campaign. We didn't have land or a building, and just praying about what we're going to do. Went to the Word, prayed in the Spirit. We're just asking each other one day, where? This doesn't sound spiritual. It sounds kind of fleshly, really. Where do you want to go to lunch? Do you want to go here? You want to go there? We both agreed, let's go to Longhorn's. We go to Longhorn's. I mean, we looked at every piece of property and all. I'm spitting now. It was really getting good. Every piece of property all over Augusta. Talked to every realtor. We're frankly just tired of the whole deal, really. Years we've been at this. And we make the decision to go to Longhorn's. Doesn't sound very spiritual. We go. I see a former minister from this church. Go, and I'm just being friendly. I go up his heart. I mean, how much being led by the Spirit, just to prompt, go over and talk to him. And we go over and we say, hey, how are you doing? And about the first thing that comes out of his mouth, did you know that the Maranatha First Family Building's for sale? No, I did not. Got out of the restaurant that day, went and called the pastor that was here. Yeah, he hadn't told anybody. We got news before anybody else had it. And one thing led to another. And we're sitting here today because we went to Longhorn's. Now, I could have equally amount of testimonies about things where I missed it, but you don't want to hear those, do you? And I'll tell you one area where I've missed it a good bit in certain things, and I won't go into detail, but probably in the area of debt. I mean, I think it's okay to borrow money. I think it's okay to do that. But if mistakes that I've made probably come in that area, where I went to debt maybe where God wanted to provide it for me. So I've made some corrections in my life about that area. But being led by the Spirit of God. I was at that same plant praying about, I got the call that my job was going to be eliminated. International Paper was buying Federal Paper Board. And my job was going to be eliminated. And they were going to cut my job without any severance package. And we had started the church and we didn't have the money to support what we were doing, you know, for us to live on. I'm making a good salary, good benefits. Susie's pregnant. Good gracious, what are we going to do? Pray. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you don't know what you ought to do, pray. Now, I'm all for getting counsel and talking to people, and I counsel with people all the time. But I tell you, you can't even be led by those words. Because there's times where I've had all the pros way outweighed the cons. And the Lord said, don't do it. And I've had times where the cons way out more the pros, and the Lord said to do it, and it worked. Went against all odds. And through make a long story short, was just praying about it, praying in the Spirit, praying and praying until I got that note of victory where you know that you know that you have it. You know what I'm talking about? And so right in the middle of all that, the pressure's on me. They're going to cut my job, all these different things happening. And I'm just praying about it. And the Lord gave me some direction. And the Lord said for me to call the head of human resources for International Paper. This is a company of 88,000 people. He's the human resource guy. Looking out for 88,000 people. And does he have time for Matt Judd? I called him. He took my call. I went over the whole thing about my job being eliminated, and I pleaded my case of why I shouldn't. I mean, I should get a severance package. And he didn't give me much hope. He said, "I'm being, you know, to be honest, Matt. I mean, this is the rules. You don't meet the criteria. But I hear what you're saying, and I'll look into it." Didn't give me much hope at all. I'm telling you, the next day or the next couple of days, I get the call. Yes, we're going to give you the severance package. 6 months paid severance package. I made more during those 6 months than I made while I worked for the company. They extended our employment benefits for another 6 months. And so we covered the birth of, which child was that? Probably Harry? Grayson? All paid for. Got bonuses. Now, if I had just been doing that in the flesh or on my own, that would have never worked out for me. But see, God's got a way. God's got a way. And He'll speak. Now, when I first started praying like this, did I start hearing things immediately? Maybe not. I mean, the most sure thing to hear and to act upon is this. And when you're training your spirit and training yourself, you start here. And you don't do things by the Spirit of God that contradict this. People can get in some crazy things with grace, some crazy things that they can get into that are not in the Word of God, and they say the Spirit's telling me to do that. Well, that's a lie, because the Spirit does not contradict this. Right. So you start by training yourself, being obedient to this. But as you grow and as you develop, you'll begin to hear things from the Spirit of God, and then you'll begin to learn to act on those things. And, I mean, you can pray about job decisions. I mean, I'm telling you, how many, and don't raise your hand, but how many of you here know people that make stupid decisions? How many here, don't raise your hand, have made some stupid decisions? How many here have made some stupid decisions in the last few months? Oh, let's just get real here. Today, this morning. Well, I've got a word for you from heaven. Be not stupid. Be not stupid. I don't know if that's good English, but be not stupid. You don't have to be stupid. Because just like I read, you know, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. You can be led by your flesh, but you can be led by one of these three as well and still get off. Do you know anybody that's led by their emotions? They're so dominated by their emotions, they can't even think straight. And they base all their decisions on their emotions. They come and go. And one day they're with you, and one day they're not. Some people, by their will, they're so stubborn, they won't listen to anybody, let alone God. And their will is so established, they're going to do what they want to do, and they don't care about if it's wrong or not. They're going to do it because they want to do it. Or your mind. Some of these intellectual people and religious people, they just do things based on what's up here. And if you just go by what's up here, you're going to be limited. It says don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit God. Let's take the limits off God. And so one of my main goals in 2012 is to pray more. I've already been doing it. And I want to do it some more, setting aside extra time to pray, because God has got some awesome things for us this year. And I don't want anybody to miss out on what He has. Pray in the Spirit about purchases. Pray in the Spirit about relationships. Pray in the Spirit about school. I mean, kids at school, our kids, their spirit filled, should be excelling in school. They should be the brightest ones. He'll lead you concerning your life. He'll show you things in the future. But it's exciting when you realize you are son and daughter of God, that you're partnering with Him, that God is working with you, because God cannot do anything on this earth unless He has a person. He works in Augusta through people. He can't just come down and do anything in this city. He will not do anything here unless we ask Him. We've been given tremendous authority. Now we don't, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but we're in control of our lives by our believing and by our speaking. In the garden, God gave man dominion and authority. He said to Adam, "You tend the garden. I'll help you. I'll counsel you, but you tend the garden. You've got authority in your life. And what you say in your world can change things. Now, it can't always change it for somebody else, but it sure will change it for you. Because you can never, by your authority, override someone else's authority. But you can influence. And what did Jesus do? I know I'm going a little long here, but what did Jesus do when He ministered to people? He tried to get them where they would open their hearts to His authority. To the centurion who is a man of authority. He's got 100 soldiers underneath. He understood authority, and he understood the authority that Jesus had in the spiritual realm. And said to him, "I'm a man under authority. I say this, go there and go to, you know, come here, come, all that." And he just said to Jesus, he said, "Speak the word and my servant will be healed." Jesus didn't even have to go to the man's house. He just spoke it. What happened? The centurion gave him authorization. And that's what you're doing when you're trying to minister to someone. You want them to open their hearts to give you authorization. And you know, and when that happens, I mean, miracles can happen. I had one time, and I've had it go both ways, both with members of the church, but one particular member of the church, their daughter had broke their arm, or been hit by a car, I think. Hit by a car, and they were pretty banged up. And I walked in the room, and you would have thought Jesus just entered the room. I mean, both the girl that was hit and the father, they just opened their hearts to me. They were so glad to see me. They couldn't wait for me to pray. They were believing with me. I laid hands on. The power of God came. And she had a supernatural recovery. Speedy recovery. Doctors couldn't explain it. But we know. But then I've had them where I go and to minister. And they're not open to what I have to say. Now if I've got time, I'll work with them. I'll pray for them. But I might as well be, you know, it's not doing any good. I mean, you realize when people are receiving. I was speaking to somebody the other day and they were open, Jim, and this person hadn't been open to me, but there was like a window in time where they were open and it was amazing. And again, I had to do it, but it was like God just came on me. He didn't make me do it or take control of me, but it was like the power of God came on me and words just started to flow to this person, and it was just a few minutes, but it was just a supernatural transaction. Grace came up out of me. The power of God came up out of me and was released into their life because they received it. We've got authority, and we can learn. And see, love opens the door. Love is the most powerful force. And if you'll love people and care for people, doors will open for you. And it'll open the door for Jesus to come in. But when we're praying in the Spirit, it clears our minds. It'll help you get control of your emotions. It'll help clear your mind and your intellect. You'll be smarter. You'll be brighter. And it'll certainly help you with your will. You won't be as stubborn. And you'll be stubborn about the things you're supposed to be stubborn about and not stubborn about things that don't matter. He'll guide you. He'll lead you into the truth. And then you'll begin to... It's just amazing, the partnership. I got to end it, guys, but do you remember God asked Abraham, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah? And he was kind of, and they were, you know, Abraham is the first Jew, so they're negotiating here. And Abraham says to him, for 50 righteous, will you spare this city? God says, sure, I will. And Abraham gets them all the way down to 5. Because he's thinking, well, there's Lot, his wife, and his kids. I know there's more than 5, and this city will be spared. There weren't. He really should take them down to 1, or maybe he said, don't do it. God was so angry at Israel one time, Moses stepped in the gap and stopped God. And see, Abraham nor Moses had the Spirit of God in them. Old Covenant, the Spirit of God came upon the prophet, the priest, and the king. They dreamed about this day. We've got a new and better covenant based on better promises. Do I got any world changers in here today? Who wants to change their world? Let's start praying. Let's start declaring some things. Let's start opening our hearts and being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Pray about what restaurant you go to on Monday. Let's stand, everybody. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Everybody say, God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. The Spirit of truth is inside of me. I hear His voice. I know His voice. I am willing and I'm obedient. I am not confused. I know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. I'm in the right place at the right time, saying the right things with the right people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.